Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's honor. It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, welcome to another Parent Coaching Parents Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show. This evening we're going to have A young man that I met here recently and, found that he was in the field of athletics and has had a very successful career in athletics. And but more importantly, he's been able to work with children in our community and watch a number of those children become successful later on in life. And we just want to tap in on his ability and his know-how and his insight and find out what helped him to reach that level of success and how was he able to reach that level of success. You know, because oftentimes we have our children and we really struggle to sit down and really connect with them and reach them, and especially if they're committed to or involved in playing sports, you know, then that creates an additional barrier if we're not really and truly familiar with, that sport or with that concept of play. So our guest for tonight, hopefully going to share some insight with us as parents and hopefully will help us get a better understanding of how we can best support our children. But as always, before we move forward and do anything, I have to play my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith is a graduate of the University of Harvard. I have to stress that point. Played here in the local area, went on to play at University of Harvard, and now off doing some wonderful things in the community. But Keith wrote this little piece for the Parents Coach of Parents Network, and I play it each and every time. And listen to it. Listen to the words of it, and tell me if you get anything out of it. Well, here you are, Keith. Take it away.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, Mike, as always, you know, Keith shares with that little piece, and the little part that I like to stress the point on is he says he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool, and I don't see anything wrong with that. And parents, we need to share that same philosophy, that same concept, that same thought with every single one of our children as they move forward in life. It's okay to make smart cool. It's okay to be a cool kid in the class, because one day that coolness may pay off for you. It may benefit you. It may actually help you out in the long run. You know, you may get something truly, truly, truly phenomenal out of the process of being cool. So it's okay to be cool. He's making smart cool. There's nothing wrong with that. So Keith shares that with us each and every time, and I like to share that with my listening audience each and every time. Always, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest this evening. And like I said, this young man, I met him some time ago. You know, we've maintained a nice little dialogue and nice little connection with each other. And, you know, more importantly, I watch him day in and day out interact with children, our young children, and some of our young children, you know, in some cases, folks would have a tendency to discard them or have a tendency to try to shy away from them. But this young man here has been very successful in what he do, you know, and I think it's not necessarily the school or the venue that he's at. It's just his personality and his perception and his overall look on, or his overall outlook, should I say, on how to reach the young mind. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring up my man, Mr. Jeffrey Hankerson. Hey, you still up? You online with us?
Yeah, I'm online. How you doing? How you doing there, Mike?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Say again?
I was going to say what's up to all the listeners, everybody out there also. You know, first time being a guest. Not first time listening, but first time being a guest, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and share a few things with you.
Well, hey, right. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. We know that you're the busy man that you are, and taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us. And we truly appreciate it. Well, you know, give us a little insight on who we're talking to tonight.
All right. Jeff Hankerson, I'm a middle school athletic director in Norfolk, also a teacher, PE teacher. Background, I grew up in playing sports my whole life, mainly basketball, football, track, you know, where most urban kids play. And I ended up getting a football scholarship. The Norfolk State was brought me into this area. And after I graduated, I got a job teaching. And second year teaching, I began coaching track at my school, at the school I was at, same school. And then, and then the following year, I became athletic director. And I've been doing that only going on years. This is my 10th year as athletic director right now. So I've been, you know, involved with sports and pretty much my whole life, but middle school sports as the athletic director, 10 years now.
And I must say, folks, that he's doing a fine job. He's doing a fine job. If he's able to hang in there for 10 years, and maintain a good level of sanity, hey, he definitely has to be doing something plus.
You
know, like I said earlier on, you know, he's had the opportunity to work with a number of kids over the years. And you got to think about it. When you're working in athletics and when you're working in the physical education department of the school, you're not like a regular teacher. You don't have that.
No.
Handful of students that you see every day for, you know, a couple hours or 90 minutes, however long they're sitting in your classroom. At some point in time, you and your peers may interact with every kid in the school.
Yep.
Because, you know, and I look at the different departments, you normally have two staff in the athletic department. Well, yeah, I think you have a number of four or five different staff in the athletic department with you. But y'all split it so that at any given point in time, you interact with half the school.
Yeah.
So that's the number of kids that you have had a huge impact on their lives over the years. And, you know, it's not like it's something that you did for, you know, for 1 year and then you took a break. You know, you say you've been in the mix for 10 years. So
yeah,
that covers a whole lot of students. You know, tell me some of the things that help you be successful in just reaching our kids.
Well, you know, just being real, just being honest with them, giving them respect, not necessarily looking down on them is one thing, but just being honest with them, good or bad. Sometimes they have to hear things that they don't want to hear, but it's the truth that it's something that you think that'll make them better, whether it's not sports or just in life in general. And so over time, sometimes they may not like it at first, but eventually they'll thank you for it, you know. And it's also, you know, being able to relate to them and at that, you know, some of the things that they're into now, you know, on that, not necessarily totally on their level, but understand their level and what some of the things that they're going through and some of their interests they're in. So you can at least, strike up a conversation, be familiar with some of the things that, you know, going on in their life right now. So it's not so huge disconnect.
Okay. You know, and that's all great. And, you know, one of the things that you really did stress, be real with them. You know, be real with them, be honest with them. Sometimes they may not want to hear what you share with them, but at the same time, I think later on in life, they truly appreciate it. And that's always a plus. That's something that we as parents, we as coaches, we as, you know, faculty and staff at various schools and institutions, that's something that we always have to remember. You know, it's nothing for us to get out there and to, try to sugarcoat things or try to lessen the load on, you know, telling the kids exactly what they need to really and truly hear to better themselves. You know, we have to make sure that they understand this world out here will eat them up if they don't decide to get themselves together. And you've been very effective at that. You said you've coached for a number of years. When you coached, did you have to interact with parents? And when you interact with those parents, what are some of the things that you share with the parents as far as, you know, just helping their kids get through the process? Because nowadays, in a lot of school systems, kids are really challenged trying to balance sports and academics.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I've coached and I've interacted with parents, and also as athletic director, I interact with parents also because I'm involved in almost all the sports throughout the entire year. But parents, I have had good and bad, not too bad, but I've had some positive and negative interactions with parents, mostly positive. One thing I will say that parents, I could think parents could do a little bit more of is be a little bit more supportive of some kids. And I don't know if, you know, if it's maybe the makeup of our school, but we have kids that after the game, you know, they have a good moment and they do well in the game, then they get on the late bus taking them home because they didn't have the parent there to watch them and take them home afterwards. So, you know, there was no one there to share that. And I think our kids, they may not express that, you know, that it means a lot to have the parents there, but it really does. I've talked to a couple on off the record on the side, and their parent not being there or being there was really big for them a few times that I have talked to them. That's the main thing I would say with parents. It's one of the things that can be worked on is a little more support. Also, in all things, because I have parents, some parents that are supportive, and when their kid playing basketball, but then when basketball season over and they're doing a sport like, they may move on to a sport like tennis or something that's not really that glamour or going to bring the crowd, parent never came to watch them play. So advice I would give is just continue to support and be there for them no matter what. If you can only show up and you got to leave, kids really appreciate that. And most of the interactions I had with parents, we interact at the game, you know, we do our talking and stuff. Because, you know, throughout the day I'm teaching, they're working, we hardly have any chance to talk, but I get to know them a lot better. And we get to, you know, talk a little bit more about the kid and life and everything else. And we give each other little pointers of what's going on. They fill me in on info about what's going on, whether it be with their child or someone else that live in the neighborhood. And we talk a little bit more about the school as well. I think I got your original question. Would that answer your original question?
No. You touched on some great stuff right there. You touched on some great stuff right there. And, you know, anything that you shared with us from your perspective is valuable. Whether or not you hit on the exact question, we know you're not trying to be a politician. So as a result, we're soaking up every word that we possibly can. One thing I wanted to ask you, you know, have you ever had a child? And because I know each and every one of us as parents and coaches and folks that deal with kids on a regular basis, you know, have you ever had that child that you thought at some point in time just wasn't going to make it if it wasn't for sports? And through sports, you were able to keep that child focused and on track, and the child has went on to do some successful things.
Oh, yeah, quite a few kids, really, you know, you wasn't going to get their attention because of sports, unless it was sports. Because, and, you know, going back to the parent thing, a particular kid I'm thinking about in my mind right now, his home life wasn't that stable, very unstable. And his parents were, I don't know what the father was, but mother was, you know, just wasn't stable. I just say wasn't stable. And, but he really liked to play sports. So when you got a 12 or 13 year old who, you know, a parent really isn't checking on them or necessarily isn't concerned with the grade, he got the freedom to do what he wants. He was doing it, and it was getting in trouble, or maybe not coming home some nights and stuff. But he loved sports, and because of him loving sports and being involved with sports and coaches recognizing his talent and things like that. People were able to mentor him, able to reach him, get through to him, and even talk to him and get to talk to the parent also. And the mother kind of, towards, by the time he was getting ready to leave, mother began to come around a lot. But, I mean, I saw a progression from him from sixth grade for having B's and E's to seventh grade, C's and B's to eighth grade, making the honor roll. And this kid ended up going and getting a full scholarship at a HBCU, and he's either a senior now, or he's either a senior now, or he just graduated. I can't remember exactly this particular kid, but it's very, you know, I can go through a couple kids that, you know, it was, you know, home life wasn't as stable, but they loved sports, and they gave them something positive to look forward to, and because they gave them something positive to look forward to, it made them want to do their work so they could stay eligible. They had their coach or people on their side that giving them, you know, encouraging them, you know, and you know, showing them love, not just giving them anything they want, because we got a lot of that too. We got some coaches that necessarily not in the school system per se, but maybe outside, they'll pretty much worship the kids so they can be on their team, which I think is a negative for the kid, which ends up having the kid have a bad poor sense of reality. But you do have, you know, but sports, the love of sports and that positive thing going on in their life can keep them on track. And so eventually you get through those rough teenage years till you begin to see the light. So the light bulb, get that light bulb moment when it goes out and say life isn't all about, you know, what I see around me or how I started or what's been modeled at home until they get to move on and do a big and better thing.
Well, you know, that's a good piece that you just shared with us. And, you know, one thing I want to stress with that, you know, when you talked about, you know, the kid turning around and the kid staying focused on sports, you know, oftentimes we as parents, you know, we look at the grades, and if the grades ain't right
and the kid is interested in sports, first thing we'll tell them, well, you got to get them grades right. And if you ain't got them grades right, first thing we try to do, we'll shut them down. They won't be able to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times our kids will react in a negative manner and before they truly consider taking a positive approach to it and saying, okay, hey, I need to really and truly buckle down. So what you just shared with us just now was really valuable. You know, how that individual, young man, I believe you were referring to,
young man
was able to go from subpar or marginal grades in sixth grade all the way through to honor roll in the eighth grade. And that's huge. That's huge. And that's all based upon that love and that passion for sports. And not only that, took it one step further and went on to get a scholarship to play that sport that he loved so much. And that in itself is huge because, you know, if you look at a child like that or if you keep a child focused on something like that, you never know what is going to come out on the other end, and especially if that child has had a challenging home life or, you know, home life may have been questionable, unstable, or whatever. So, parents, we have to remember that, and when we make that decision or when we take that step towards whether or not we're going to allow them to play and take away what they love to do to, you know, increase the grades. You know, I could do a whole nother show on talking about academics and grades and stuff like that, but I prefer not to at this point. Maybe we'll do it at some other time. But keep them involved in that sport. Keep them involved in that sport and allow that sport to motivate them towards picking their grades up because they'll see that there's a whole lot more opportunities out there when we give them that leeway. Well, I want to ask you a couple more questions, but before that I want to give out the call-in number. If anybody want to join in on the conversation, they can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095, option one. And definitely you can join in on the conversation. Let us know your thoughts or if you had some issues or if you had some questions that you'd like to, you know, present to our guests this evening, we'll be more than happy to entertain your question. Well, Hank, you know, you talked about a number of things, and you talked about reaching out to the kids and, you know, interacting with some of the parents, you know, and you also mentioned that you had a little spell coaching yourself, you know, dealing with you know, being out there and being actually on the floor, on the field or whatever with the kids. Mm-hmm. Now, you also said that, you know, you as an athletic director, you know, oversees a lot of that. Now, when you are selecting coaches, do you look at anything as far as, and I know this is kind of stepping out of what we initially discussed, but I think this just popped up in my head or something. When you're selecting coaches, and I know there's other factors involved in the process and folks in the administration side involved in the process, so on and so forth, but what are some of the positive things that you look for when you're trying to evaluate a coach?
Well, you try and character is the main thing. Are they a person of integrity, you know, because you're dealing with kids, you know, you don't want someone that's going to have a negative influence on them. And, you know, can lead them the wrong way, and maybe not by what they say, but just by the way they live, you know. You kind of get them the okay to have a bad outlook or negative character as well. So that's one of the main things, especially when you're dealing with kids, especially middle school kids who are still impressionable. You want them to be able to teach and learn, especially at this level. You know, we want to win, but at this stage, winning, I mean, is good there. They need, a lot of the kids need to learn the game because we have a lot of sports that kids have never even played before. Like, you know, we got football, basketball, a lot of kids, especially in our area, you know, they have played those since they were young. But we have a lot of them that try new sports like soccer, field hockey, tennis, volleyball, and they join those teams that have never, ever played them in their life, even baseball and softball. So you want a coach that can teach them the game, teach them the rules, and coach them up the right way as well. So knowledge of the game and being able to reach and teach the kids is another important aspect as well. And, you know, you want them to get, you know, when they leave the coach, you want them to be a better person, whether it be athletically and as a better person growing, you know, as they get ready to grow as well. So you want to coach good character, know the game, and can teach the kids. Not necessarily concerned about you want to win, of course. That's why we play the game. But more importantly than winning, that they're learning the game the right way, you know. Because preparing the kid for the next level, you know, having a kid, preparing them in a position, a realistic position, not necessarily that's going to pay off for me now, but get this kid ready to move on to the next level as well at this stage in that, at this stage of the sport at my school.
Well, you know, as always, that's some great insight. And that's truly something that we all need to think about, you know, because oftentimes we just think that, okay, some coach just showed up somewhere and somebody hired them. The coach has no clue or no impact on what the kids are doing. You know, a lot of coaches, I like to see coaches being actively involved in the kid, not only on the court or on the field, but what the kid is doing in school. You know, whether or not it's a coach at a middle school or high school level, or whether or not it's a recreation league coach, or a summertime coach, somebody that's overall involved in the child's overall performance, not just on the field or on the court, but also in the classroom, and ensuring that the child is maturing to grow and become that true man or woman that he or she should become. So that we commend you for putting them parameters down and setting that foundation and making sure that you're bringing in quality coaches into the program. Well, we're going to take a second. Go ahead.
No, I would say you brought up a good point about coming and checking on the kids. Sometimes those coaches have more influence than the parent. So sometimes a parent can't do anything with them. Or it's harder, the kid, you know, it's kind of the parent's message kind of falling on deaf ears with an athlete. But some of those coaches that they've begun to build a relationship with, it's easy for them to get them on point sometimes. You know what I mean? So it's really good to have a good coach that's willing to put in extra time because they can have sometimes a quicker impact at some point sometimes than the parent. So the kids start going through teenage years, you know, they start going through their little changes. And sometimes giving mama and dad a little harder time. Sometimes that coach will get them right back because, you know, they got that playing time and some hanging over their head sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's another great point. And also, sometimes coaches have a little bit more influence over the teacher in the classroom. You know, and the coach can work hand in hand with the teacher in the classroom to help that child get through what he or she is struggling at. Well, we're going to take a second. We're going to step away, take a little break here, but again, if you want to join in on the conversation when we come back, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. We'll be right back here shortly.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, you know, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college, and if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and then move forward.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, we're back. Again, if you want to call in and join in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Well, we've been talking to Athletic Director Mr. Jeffrey Hankerson, and he shared some information with us about how they go about selecting coaches. He shared some information with us on just simply interacting with parents during the time period that he was coaching, and most importantly, really shared some great information with us on reaching our children and just making sure our children get the best out of every situation from an athletic perspective. Ensuring that our children not only get the best out of it, but from time to time you have to also share that with their parents as well. We're going to go back to our guests, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to share some great insight with us and just make sure that our eyes and ears are full of great information. So if you got time, you needed that time to pull out your pens and papers to continue to take some great copious notes, hey, here we go. We're back on again. You still with us, Hank?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm enjoying myself.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you know, we talked about a whole lot on the first end of the conversation, and we're on the back end of it now, and getting ready to wrap things up, and you highlighted some things of, you know, dealing with some young folks, young men, probably, that you've seen go from, you know, less than marginal performers through, you know, high expectation, honor roll type kids, so on and so forth, and that's great, and that's great. And hopefully you'll continue your success in making that happen in our community as our kids come through your program. You know, let's hit on, and you said that you're an athletic director, you know, because a lot of times our kids are involved in sports. They know about sports, but they really don't understand mechanics and the pieces to put things together. And what I mean by that is, you know, you said you played at one point in time, and then you went on and played at the college level, and then, you know, went on to start doing some coaching, and then at some point in time were appointed to position as athletic director. You know, was there any major challenges that was in your way or that you had to face during the time that you were pursuing a career in sports? Would athletic director be considered in the sports field? I'm thinking it's along the lines of the sports management, somewhere along that same line. Am I correct?
Well, it definitely is. Most definitely. It definitely is. It's like different levels. See, when you're athletic director at a middle school level, it's a little different than high school because, like, once again, high school, the athletic directors they don't teach at all. That's strictly their job to, oversee the sports program, which is a lot bigger. You have colleges and different things like that, kids trying to get recruited and so forth. So with the middle school, it's more about the teaching aspect. We want to win. It's about winning, but mainly you want to get it across that the kids are learning the game and getting ready to go to that next level. You're preparing them for the next level of high school or whatever sport they're going to do and preparing them academically as well. But a lot of kids, when you're talking about, don't understand that, all the ins and out mechanics of sport. Sometimes that's all they want to understand is the mechanics of sports, and they don't understand that if you ask kids what they want to do, I want to be a professional basketball player, I want to be a professional football player, and they're not getting a grade. And I say, what college you want to go to? And they tell them some big-name school. Well, you can't get in there with no grades. I mean, before you become a pro, you got to go to college. So they don't, sometimes they forget about, they're not focused on one of the main things that they're going to need, which is their grades. And that's what we're trying to instill in them now at the middle school level before they get to high school. Because I've seen many kids with all the talent in the world not play at all because they don't have a grade, or play 1 or 2 years, and then next thing you don't know what happened to them because they didn't have a grade, and they kind of just fell off because of that. So what was the original question again?
Okay, you're going to stop doing that to me, going on your little tangents, and then come back
what was the original question?
No, you touched on it. You touched on it because you start out answering the question every time, but then you start going into depth, and that's what takes you away from to that question. But yes, you did answer the question. But I had a question that somebody just texted me a second ago. It says, as an athletic director, do you see recreational ball as a handicap to some students?
Yes and no. And, like, each situation is different, but I don't want to shoot down the notion of recreation ball. Recreation ball is good, but I have seen cases where it was a handicap, and I have seen cases where it was actually good for the kids. So, every situation is different. And I don't want to, spend a negative light on it because or overly positive on it when there are some negatives. But I have seen some when I talk about character of our coaches, I have seen some rec ball coaches that didn't have that type of character. They were all cared about winning and lying to the kids to get them to do certain, to be more loyal to them. And, all the while, not necessarily doing what's in the best interest of the kid, as far as making it in all aspects of life, grade, school, and everything else. They were more concerned about, keeping that kid under their wing because they think they thought they had something special, all the while not really fostering that kid to be what they needed to be. But there are cases, we have cases where kids get a lot of good experience playing rec ball and good coaches. Coach them up the right way, and we have some rec ball coaches that are come alongside some of the middle school coaches, even though they're not coaching in middle school. They come give good advice, try and let us know of kids that we have in our school that maybe hadn't came out, but it has talent. We need to go, try and encourage them to come out and so forth. So it's good and bad. I have seen good and bad instances of rec ball.
Okay. And we're going to commend you for staying on topic that time.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, no, you're on point. Just playing with you. But, I've seen that as well. You know, I've seen that from both ends. I've seen, recreation coaches and, if we're talking about various leagues, select soccer, AAU, basketball, softball showcase coaches or traveling team coaches and all those type of, I think the child would get a overall better perspective of the sport if those two coaches chose to work together, trying to work on opposite ends and claiming the child as his or her child. You would probably get a whole lot better product if you chose to work with and through each other, vice working on opposite ends, because on opposite ends, one thing that I do see, it causes a lot of confusion with the children. I've seen it from the high school level where you had AAU coach, he's downplaying it and discouraging the child from even wanting to be on the high school team, not realizing that the high school team is going to be the team that can probably take him to wherever he needs to go. I've seen that. So if you have a coach and the coach is not necessarily working hand-in-hand with the high school coach, or the high school coach or the middle school coach is not working, trying to, work with the recreation coach, then you may have somewhat of a problem. I think parents, one thing that we can do, we could be the happy medium between the two and let both coaches know that neither one of you two are making a decision on this child. I've dealt with that myself face-to-face, heads up. That's one of the situations that we as parents, and that's one thing that we stress here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network, is that we understand our level of power and understand that these are our children. These have been our children for the last 16, 17, 18 years. And if you're talking about middle school kids, we're talking about 11, 12, 13, 14 years. And understanding that coaches, when they step in there and try to make too big of a decision for that child, then they may be interrupting the entire chemistry of the household and not realizing that. Because, you got a child that thinks, okay, Coach so-and-so told me I need to do this, and I don't need to go there. But meanwhile, the parent has already set, plans and, paid the necessary funds or whatever the case may be for the child to participate in whatever event, but now they get some opposition coming back from a coach, and coaches need to know that their level at some degree stops. When you have a situation where the parents aren't actively involved, then I can see where that coach is stepping up to provide that positive role model, that positive guidance for that child. Well, we talked about a whole lot this evening. We talked about everything from coaching, talked about everything from trying to continue to encourage the children to, work towards better grades. I don't know if you heard at the start of the show, I played my little piece by my man Keith Wright, and he said, make it smart, cool. That's a little mantra that I like to share with every group of parents that I talk to and their children, that it's okay to do what you have to do in the classroom. There's nothing wrong with being intelligent. If you're intelligent and you're an athlete, you're a very special person, very special person. And that's something that we have to give kudos to those folks that have pursued your career path, like athletic directors, because at some point in time you had to get into the books. And at some point in time, you had to be at the top of your game to stay on the team, to stay eligible to receive that scholarship. So we have to give kudos to folks like you that have went out there and have done what they need to do. Hey, if you want to chime in on the conversation, always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095.
1-800-875-8095. Hit option one and let us know that you have a question for our guest this evening. We're talking to Mr. Jeffrey Hankerson, athletic director, and been out there, been in the game for about 10 years now, have done some coaching, played college ball, played high school ball, and now is sharing his philosophy, his thoughts, his insight, his presence, and a little bit of his character with the kids that he's involved with on a daily basis, and that's always a great thing. Well, thank you. Know, give us some more information on you know, some of the things that a parent can do. You know, just to, you know, from what you've seen, just to motivate style.
Okay. Well, the main thing, you hit on some good points about what you were saying the last time about when the coach is trying to make decisions for the kid. Parents be involved. And just, hey, everything's just all that start with the parent. Coach, they have no right about what they want to do with a kid unless the parents say that it's okay. We can do this or we can do that. Or they can go here or they can go here. Or they can play this or they can play that. Because parents just need to, like, know, like, I'll piggyback on what you said, understand their roles. They may have a star athlete and you may not know much about the sports. Yeah, I get parents like, they have a star athlete on their hands, or a young lady, or a young mother, or have a child, son that's good in football. She don't know much about football, so she just, you know, listens to the coach. And but you get more invested about, you know, maybe not, maybe you don't necessarily want to understand the game totally. Think about what's the ins and outs of what's going on with your child, and you know, what they're leading, you know, what the coach is trying to lead them. And if you think it's too much, don't be afraid to say, no, you're doing too much. You need to focus here. Focus here on grades, or I mean, you need a break, because a coach will keep a kid going and burn them out, trying to keep make themselves look good all the while. You know, kid may be getting a little burnt out or maybe not growing. The progress may kind of plateau because they need a little change of scenery, a little break from time to time. So parents just need to know. I think one of the things is know their role, and not, don't be afraid to, even if you don't understand the sport, to think about what you think is best for your child. You should make all the decisions about, you know, what's going on with your child. Don't let a coach, athletic director, teacher, whatever, anybody, make those decisions for you. But being involved, be involved with your kid. Ask some questions. I mean, how you doing here? Go to the games and watch. Like, even if you don't understand, you know, just go to the games. When I first became athletic director, there's a whole lot of sports that I didn't understand. But by going to the game, eventually you pick up and you know, I never was on a wrestling team, or I never, you know, only girls play field hockey, so I didn't understand those sports. But by being around it, eventually you will pick up and learn a lot more. So just, you know, even if it's something that's not your cup of tea, if your child is involved, show your face and take an interest in what they're doing. The main thing, they will love, you know, they'll respect you for that a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. And great piece. We truly appreciate that. And, you know, that's one of the philosophies behind us starting the Parents Coaching Parents Network, is to help parents get a better understanding of what their children are actually getting into, you know, from rec league sports all the way through to college sports, and now we're even digging into the professional side of things and helping parents get a better understanding of what they're getting into and best be able to support their children as their children move forward and move up the ladder in sports. You know, there's nothing for us to sit down and have a conference call and share our ideals and our concepts and, you know, just some our you know, lessons learned with other parents that have kids that's out there playing. And I have a host of great folks that's out there that really can share some real true insight on you know, some things that they've learned over the years. And, you know, their children have moved on to do bigger and better things in life. And some of them are playing professional. Some of them are now in corporate America.
and still having a great time. You know, what are some of your thoughts? And this is just trying to pick your brain real quick. What are some of your thoughts as far as kids really focusing on, not really, you know, put no super extra effort into it, but really focusing on, you know, starting to think about, hey, I may want to play at college. You know, because I'm going to tell you what we preach here at the Parents Coach Parents Network. You know, the sooner we can catch them, if we can catch them at the middle school level and start getting them thinking about that, because we realize that high school, if you get in there and you play around 1 or 2 years, you're more than likely going to be behind the power curve. So mm-hmm. if we can catch something out of middle school, getting their minds mm-hmm. thinking about, okay, I need to get my core classes straight. I need to sit down and start thinking about maybe what my major is going to be or something in that field. Now I got something to shoot for when I get into high school, because them 4 years may burn up real fast without you considering the reclassifying thing that a lot of our kids are doing nowadays. So what are some of your thoughts on kids starting to really put a little effort and parents starting to put a little bit more effort on to get a little bit more focused at the middle school level?
Well, I think it's first, I think it's a good goal to have to play college sports. I think it's a good goal. I think it's great that any kid is involved in any sport, because it's such a lot of life lessons to learn in sports regardless. But as far as I think it's great that they will want to pursue college, and they should get the understanding that college is school, and it's going to take grades to get to school, and you can't just be good in sports and then that's going to get you to college. It's going to be more to it than that. You have to have something on the plate. You have to bring something to the table. And I try and stress to kids that, you know, it's important. You got to get those grades and start now, because you can't wake up one day and say, all right, oh, I'm good, I'm going to get a chance to scholarship, now I'm going to start studying. Well, those habits, bad habits have been learned, and it's hard to break those. It's hard to break those. But, and also, you get, like, I got a lot of kids that want to be basketball players. They want to be NBA or college basketball. When I say, oh, you know, well, how tall you think you're going to have, you know, look at your height and stuff like that. Well, some of the differences is, you may run, you may be good, but it may be somebody else that's maybe a few inches taller than you that may be good. And they may be trying to decide between you and him. But maybe if you got those grades and you're showing somebody you they can rely on you, that you're not somebody that may flunk out, or you'll be there for the long haul, you're committed. Sometimes you'll get the nod over someone that maybe look better than you on film, or they have a few more stats, or maybe a few inches taller, or they just can't decide between the two of them. Sometimes that can be the extra nod to get you that scholarship when they don't. So it's to be real and think and realize now that it's going to take, you know, you actually focusing and doing your work and in order to achieve that dream of going to college. I played in college, and being on a team in college is great. I mean, I came from out of state a long ways away, and, you know, I try and tell them the same story. You automatically have a family, you know, by being on the team. You automatically have friends. You automatically, you know, have, you know, a group to be with. But it's going to take grades. So I try, mostly they think about the sport without thinking about what is it, you know, the grade, just like, you know, people see. And also, on top of it, you got to work. The LeBron James and all these other stars you see on TV, they don't just show up on game day and be good and are good. Behind the scenes, they're putting in extra work to hone in their craft, to be a better athlete, be better at that sport. So you got to be serious about it. And when that requires some sacrifice, not to maybe not hang with your friends or not get off the social media a little bit, or, you know, go to sleep at night. So it's going to take some discipline, you know. But you know, if you focus on what you want to do, you can do whatever you want to do. But you just got to be real. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to do something, starting with your grade and your effort that you're going to put into the sport.
Exactly, exactly. And you mentioned some valuable tidbits in there when you was talking about that. And, you know, one of the things that we stress here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network is starting early on, starting at that middle school level. Because if you look at some of your premier athletes that's out there now, whether or not, you know, we're looking at the LeBron Jameses, or whether or not, you know, we're looking at, Tony Romo, or some of them other guys that's out there that you know, star-studded in the paper, in your face all day, every day, every time you turn on the TV. If you're looking at some of those premier athletes, those athletes were playing the sport at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And then they picked up the understanding, hey, if I really want to go anywhere, then I need to match my grades up with what I'm doing out there on the court or on the field. You know, so that's why I say a lot of young kids nowadays, if you start looking at it and thinking about the sports early on, even if you're not that star athlete, even if you're not, you know, the key piece on the team, I tell kids all the time, and I tell the same thing to parents. I say, you know, one of the major things between a Division I player and Division III player is most of the time you may have the size, a size difference. You know, you can have the best kid in the district be the number one point guard or number one running back in the district, but just due to his size may not make a Division I team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're 5'2", 5'3", 5'4", and you're the best point guard on the floor in the entire district or in the entire state, you may not make a Division I squad just simply due to your size, because most of your Division I athletes that's going to step out there as a point guard more than likely will be at least 6 feet and above nowadays. So you have to be realistic about that. But is there anything wrong with going to a Division III? No, there's not. No, there's not. So my whole goal and our whole purpose is to give you the opportunity or help you get to that opportunity to go to college. What you do after you go to college, attend college, get your degree, what you do after that, it falls in place. It falls in place. So we here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network, we stress that point, and we try to reach our kids as early as possible to set that mind, get that mindset going from as early as we can make a connection with them all the way through to their level of success, graduating from college, moving on to do bigger and better things in life. Well, we've been talking to Mr. Jeffrey Hankerson for about the last hour or so, or close to it, and he shared some great insight and great information with us. Hank, give us something to close out with as we prepare to wind down, sir.
Okay, well, close out with his parents, you know, just continue to support your kids no matter what. Be involved, know what's going on. I know it's getting harder and harder with all the social media and the internet and all that other stuff. But you gotta work to at least know what's going on. Take an interest in the kids' school activities and sporting events as well. And just stay on top of it. Show a lot of interest, and let them know that, you know, sports is one way, but at the end of the day, whether you make it to the pros or you're not, once you get the education, it can't, you know, they can't take that away from you. Can bring, you know,
exactly.
I'm sure you stress that on your still all the time. You can blow your knee out at any time, but you ain't gonna blow your brain out from just walking or playing a sport, you know. So you have to have your brain to get you where you need to go.
Exactly. Yes. And we stress the point here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network. You know, we talk about what we call life skills, our choices, decisions, and consequences. And we really stress the point to the young folks that your consequences is the most important thing. Consequences is the most important thing. You have to look at the bigger picture at the end of the tunnel and realize if you really and truly want to get there, or the chance is all there for you. Well, Hank, we thank you for joining us this evening, and we're going to invite you back on anytime you want to come on and just share some insight or just give us some updates of what's going on in your world. We definitely appreciate that, and looking forward to having you back on, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for the invite. I had a good time, and look forward to joining back in the future.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Well, folks, we've been listening to the Parents Coach Parents Network as we prepare to wind down. We thank you for joining. We're on every Sunday evening at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can also follow us on Facebook at Parents Coach and Parents Network. You can look us up on Twitter at PCP Network and Instagram at PCP Network. We'll have some new things coming out here, turning into the new millennium. I think you want to stay tuned and just check our Facebook page from time to time. And I know we got some big shows coming up, and I think you may want to get in on that conversation. We're working on bringing Dr. Steve Perry on with us. Just to give us some insight on his success. And if you're not familiar with who Steve Perry is, Steve Perry is a young man out of Hartford, Connecticut, who started that magnet school up there and has had some great success over the years. So stay tuned to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. You can catch us again next Sunday at 9:30 p.m. Oh, by the way, next Sunday we have our next Sunday will be the second Sunday. We have a compliance officer that's going to join us. Our compliance officer is going to join us, and that's going to be definitely an eye-opener on some new NCAA rules and regulations that's going on. So until then, it's been fun. It's been real fun. We'll be seeing you. Thanks for joining the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Take us away, Keith.
Student of the game.